If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
Now, today we are going to discuss from the Word of God the two most important concepts in your kingdom walk. We have spent a tremendous amount of time discussing love, and we've discovered that love works. We've discovered that without it, we're just making a bunch of noise. Gifts and prophecies, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, are irrelevant if love is not the master key. If love does not drive us, we're making noise, he said. If we had gifts to perform miracles, it profits me nothing if I don't walk in love. Love is patient, it's kind, it does not seek its own, it's not arrogant, it is not brutal towards people. It is perpetually kind. It has no end. Jesus says love is forgiving, and you forgive them 70 times 7. Now, what we're going to do is tie two pieces of evidence together today to help you understand just why you are not receiving what you've been asking for. Now, the Pentecostal shortcut is to bind the devil. This isn't happening. Satan, you a liar. I bind you in Jesus' name. Get off my healing. Get off my sickness. Get off my blessing. But you didn't tell him to get off your salvation. Why is it that he's not strong enough to keep you in sin, but he is strong enough to keep you sick? Let's take a moment and think about that. Okay. Now, let's look at this. In Galatians chapter 5, the letter to the Galatian church is a letter to rescue backslidden Christians. Now, I need you to divorce yourself from what we've been told backsliding means. We've been told that backsliding means that you are no longer saved. That is not true. In the Greek culture, if a child is potty trained, knows how to go to the bathroom on their own, and they slip back and wet their trousers or wet themselves again, in that culture, they are considered to have backslidden. So backsliding does not mean an abandonment of faith. It means a reversal of behavior. Therefore, the principle was they need to repent from going back to that old behavior and get back on track so they don't perform the same thing. So the church at Galatia was slipping backward into a fleshly lifestyle. So Paul says, you began in the spirit, but now you've returned to what's convenient. All Christian experiences are great when they start, but they become difficult. Here's why. Marriage is perfect. You know why? God created it. You know when marriage is no longer perfect? When people get married. Because you bring imperfect beings into a perfect existence. Marriage is perfect because it was created by God. The deficiency comes when you take imperfect beings who don't know how to work in perfection, and they ruin it by trying to mess up the perfection of God. Well, the church is perfect. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So his church, it cannot be subject to Satan's power. His church cannot be bound. His church cannot be overtaken by flesh. But the question that you and I must answer is, to whose church do we belong? Do we belong to Jesus's church or my church? So if the gates of hell cannot prevail against his church, it can sure come against mine. Because I give it the ammunition, my flesh. So what does your treatment from the church have to do with you walking with Jesus? Well, somebody hurt me. I ain't coming to church no more. What does that have to do with praying and seeking God? And so the Galatians had gotten to a place where they were familiar with Paul and with God. And so they decided, you know what? We're going to go back to what was convenient. So Paul writes to them in chapter 5. As he begins to come on in for a landing, he says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Here's how it reads. And we to whom Christ has given eternal life don't need to worry about whether we have been circumcised or not, or whether we're obeying the Jewish ceremonies or not. For all we need is faith working through love. I need you to pay attention now. Because if I were to take a quick test and say, how many of you walk by faith? I'm sure that over 50% of the hands in this place would go up. But if I were to say, how many of you are walking by love? That number would go down. And then if I would say, how many of you are walking by faith through love? Maybe one or two hands would go up because we don't understand the connection. The word of the Lord says, the only thing that we should be concerned about is faith working by love. If our faith is not working by love, it's not faith. And yet we've been told that we should have faith. In Romans 13:10, Paul writes, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Whew. There is nothing like love in our lives, so liberating, so captivating at the same time. Love liberates, but it also holds you in stasis. Love empowers, but it also provides humility. Power with love is called meekness. The Bible declared that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, but nobody else ever split the water. Jesus was greater than Moses. Moses split the sea, Jesus walked on it. Moses killed an Egyptian, Jesus raised three dead people. And with the exception of Lazarus, the two other people that Jesus raised were young. And the testimony is he raised them so that they could complete the number of their days. He wants us to fulfill our purpose. Now the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Why? Because the devil doesn't love you like we love him. We sing his music, we watch his shows, we do his bidding, we lie his lies, we hate with his hate, we confuse people, we backbite, we use all of his tools, and we justify the use of those tools by saying, well, they did that to me. And so we build Satan's kingdom through our actions. And then we take one day a week to build God's kingdom through our praise and all the other things that we do. So Paul says here, instead of worrying about all of these religious ramifications, we need to focus on building our love and building our faith simultaneously. How do we do that? The scriptures teach us in Mark chapter 11, it's a very popular passage, and I feel the need to go over it and rehearse it again and again until there is substantive change in our unconscious mind. Most of us in ministry preach to your conscious minds. Whereas in order for the word to be effective, we must replace some of those old thought patterns that have been developing over years of exposure. Your mind is not your brain. Your brain is like the engine of a car. It drives everything. Every component under the hood drives everything in that car. The batteries take care of the power issues. The engine takes care of the power to move. The brake the master cylinder is under the hood. Everything that drives the car is under the hood. That's what your brain is. Your mind is the conglomeration of what's been fed to you and how you act on it. You have a conscious mind, which is what you see at the moment, what you understand at the moment, and what you deal with at the moment that occupies 3% of your mind. 97% of your mind is a slave to your past. That's why nothing new can get through without conflict. And we'll make statements such as, look, I'm standing on this. I know I ain't wrong. It's my experience. This is what I believe. But it's all based on what somebody else told you. Even your ideology about yourself is based on what someone else told you. The child who grew up in an atmosphere of, baby, you're going to be anything you can be. You are great. You are a king. You are this, that, and the other. You are just fantastic. They grew up to be great, fantastic, and owning the company. Those children who grew up, you ain't nothing, never going to be nothing. You're as bad as your dad. All the men in his family were no good, are going to grow up being no good. Why? Why? Was there a magic spell? Yes, it's called words. And until we learn how to speak, we will be slaves to our unconscious mind. Your thoughts about God were formed by other people who had no experiences that you had. Oh, he a way maker. He ever make a way for you? No. 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 Most of us never had to have him make a way because we got people in our lives who make ways. Never had to depend on God because there's always somebody else doing for us. And we panic when that person says, I ain't doing it no more. What am I going to do? But you said he was a way maker. You got him testify. When we had testimony, I thank God he's a way maker. He's a heavy load sharer. He's a burden bearer. Hallelujah. And God says, all right, tell that person, don't help them no more. Let's see if they believe with that. No, praise God. See, that's what's wrong with the people. They don't want to help. Church don't want to help you. But you said the Lord was your way maker. See, somebody told you he was a way maker. You never had him make a way for you. He's a healer. You never had him heal. You walking around right now. If you opened up your purse, ladies, and went in that purse right now, there would be Advil, Percocet. There would be Oxycontin. And if you have teenagers, there would be Prozac and Equinil and lithium in there as well. And if you're married, you'd have a fifth of scotch. He's a healer. Yeah, he's a healer. As long as I got these Advil, he a healer. As long as I got this extra strength, arthritis strength, 1,000 milligrams of Tylenol, he's a healer. And so here Jesus tries to teach us something in Mark 11 that we will never get unless we sit together and provoke one another to excellence. I could not understand why he goes over this again and again with us. And I can't release myself from it. The most powerful part of your body is your tongue. It is the only thing that the Bible says death and life are contained in. He doesn't say death and life are in your fist. He doesn't say it's in any other part of your body. He says death and life are in your tongue.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6418P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.